Well, good morning, everybody. Over the past week or two, I ran into several conversations where the question was, is baptism symbolic? That was the question. And I had a particular answer in my heart, but in one particular conversation we were having, I specifically asked that question. I said, do you believe that baptism is symbolic? And there was dead silence for a few minutes. Anyway, so I've been thinking about that, and but I think the answer to that question is, was Jesus' baptism symbolic? Does that make sense? Because we're following him. He is our pattern. And so we're going to look at that today. Was Jesus' baptism symbolic or not? Okay? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Maybe I should back up on that. Usually when people say that baptism is symbolic, they're saying, well, it's symbolic of your repentance and your relationship with Jesus. And that's kind of like the end of the conversation. So that's what I mean, or that's what I understand people to mean, is when they say, oh, yeah, baptism is just symbolic because I repented, and baptism is just whatever. So anyway, back to Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee to the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus came up and immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. What an amazing moment in time that must have been. So initially, Jesus, he's approached by John to be baptized by him, right? Jesus approaches John, but John is like questioning, like, what are you doing here, Jesus? You're supposed to be baptizing me. I'm supposed to point to you. And so John doesn't even really understand what's going on, even though he was considered one of the most prominent prophets of his time. Anyway, but Jesus says, So then Jesus graciously says to permit it at this time to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus has to fulfill all righteousness? Okay. Now we know that he was sinless. He wasn't coming to repent of his sins. But yet, he needed to go through this process. So here are my thoughts on it. This moment is the very inception of Jesus' ministry. The Father directed him to be baptized by John. Now, how do we know that? How do we know the Father directed him? Because Jesus said, I only do what the Father has told me to do. And he has been waiting for this moment, for the Lord to say, okay, it's time to move forward. And so what does Jesus do? He responds to the Father's direction by humbling himself and submitting himself to the ministry of John the Baptist, a ministry of repentance. So it's like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, what do you mean by this? It also says that Jesus is God in the flesh and that he came to identify with men. That was his whole purpose, was to come here and to show himself in the flesh. So turn now to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So here he was, humbling himself, being obedient to God's word, to go get baptized by John. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an amazing statement. He became sin on our behalf. Hebrews 2:12. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus came to do that, to identify with sinful man. And he wants us to know that he came to identify with us and our problems and our issues and our flaws. I believe his obedience to the Father to do this was the fulfillment of righteousness, because had he not followed the Father's leading, that would not be appropriate. So now Jesus is baptized. And as soon as he comes up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended as a dove, lighting on him. Jesus is setting a precedence for the new covenant and for every new convert. Now, what do I mean by that? The covenant's about to change, and he's setting an example for us how we come into the kingdom of God. And we'll get to the details of that. The result of Jesus' obedience is profound. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, lighting on him. John 3, verses 3 to 6, Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus was demonstrating the way into the kingdom. He was obedient to the word of God, and he went in the waters of baptism. And he comes up out of the waters of baptism and he receives the Holy Spirit. He had not had the Holy Spirit. And it says in the scripture that I just read, if we don't have that experience, if we don't have the experience of being transformed, we were forgiven of our sins, we're buried in the waters of baptism, and come up into a newness of life and receive the Holy Spirit, we can't even see the kingdom of God. That's what it says. And unfortunately, so much of the church is in that place where they've heard the word of repentance and they've turned, but they've never been directed into coming into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you can see the kingdom and enter in and be a part. Otherwise, it becomes just a religious activity. I'm in the church. Oh, I'm going to do this, and I want to be like this, or I want to be like him, or I want to be like this minister. And it's like you're not even listening to the Lord for your own life. You're trying to do things your own way. And here, God was giving a beautiful example. He says, follow me. Something's going to happen when you get in that water. Something's going to change when you come up out of that water. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And it's by His power you will live in a newness of life. And for the first time, you'll be able to say no to sin. Without the Holy Spirit, we were struggling and struggling. We were trying, getting up, falling down, over and over and over and over again. John chapter 14, verses 14 to 17. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. In other words, he's saying he's with you now, but something's going to change at Pentecost. Something's going to change because that Holy Spirit is going to come down inside of you. Why? Because he wants to identify with you. He doesn't want to identify with you on the outside. He wants to identify with you on the inside. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to know that he's come in and he knows all your thoughts. He knows all your ways. And he does that because he loves us. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the three there were represented when he got baptized. We're just following Jesus' example. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe, in other words, to be obedient of all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So now it's in our hands. To follow the Lord in that way, to come into a relationship with Him where He comes to abide with us because He wants to identify with us and we are baptized into Him so we can identify with Him. And together we walk and we do the will of the Father. Acts chapter 1. Verses 4 through 9. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, isn't it this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. We can't witness appropriately without the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What did he tell us to do? Make disciples and get him wet. There's something important about getting wet, because when you come up, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit. I can't live without him. And if anybody's trying to live without him, they're going to fail. Period. Acts 2. Verses 37 to 39. Peter just finished preaching to a crowd that was mocking those who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And he has this message, and he starts preaching to these guys. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Something was going on inside. Why? Because Peter had the power of the Holy Spirit now, and when he was preaching, people were being convicted. Not because of his word, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because only the Holy Spirit can convict men of sin, of judgment, and righteousness. I cannot do that. But if I'm led by the Holy Spirit to preach the word, he's going to use that word, like was just, who just read that today? About the word going forth and not returning void? Who just said that? I heard that today. It was Joan. I have to find out where I just left off. He says, okay, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now you can do that because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not let sin reign in your body that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Do you think something happened in baptism? Wow. That's the gospel of the kingdom. A life being transformed, being set free, having vision of the kingdom, having entered into the kingdom. Where we present ourselves as bond slaves, as Christ presented himself, a bond slave, to serve the Lord. And in that process, God just wants you to be yourself. He's not asking you to be like someone else. He just wants you to be like him. How many years I struggled as a young Christian because I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, trying to figure out what the heck am I going to do in the world? And so I tried to figure it out, and I just couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't figure it out. But eventually the Lord said, Paul, I just want you to be who I created you to be. Just be yourself. And if no one likes you, well, guess what? They didn't like me either. But I like you. In fact, I love you. Amazing. That God would come to identify with us, not just on the outside, but on the inside. And the last part of this, the scripture says, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The ministry of John the Baptist was just confirmed. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So his job was done. His call was over. He was going to be arrested and have his head chopped off soon. Praise the Lord, right? I don't think he wanted that. I'm not laughing at the fact, but it's like his job was done and the Lord took him home to glory. Jesus was now confirmed. Jesus the Messiah, who had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years in the Old Testament, is now being validated. First by John, because John pointed to him, and then all of a sudden a voice out of heaven says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So there you have the Father, and you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit, all being manifested in that moment. And this was the big change. This was the change from the old covenant to the new covenant. Or let's put it this way, this was the beginning of the process, because Jesus still has to offer his life, lay it down, he has to die, and then be resurrected. But in God, those things are not big issues. The timing of things are not that big. So here God is fully revealed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is what we should be identifying with. That we understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that they are one. And that's our life in the kingdom. So the point I sense the Lord wants me to make today . Jesus' baptism was in no way symbolic. It was not a symbol. He was doing something. He was manifesting something in the Spirit for us to see and for us to enter into as well. Because he wanted us to participate and be baptized into him. Because that's what John says. You need to be baptized by him. So he's coming to identify with us in our sinful human nature, and we are now being identified with the God of all creation who loves us and is here to save us from ourselves. It was also the beginning of the new covenant, where God comes to dwell among us and begins, and I just said this, and begins to identify us with the sins of men, while at the same time establishing the way into the kingdom. In other words, we need the Holy Spirit, like I said, not only to see it, but in order to enter into it. So it is for us when God speaks to us to turn or repent, right? From going our own way. Then he instructs us to identify with him in the way of righteousness by being baptized as he was. And when we obey that command to be baptized, our sinful human nature is buried with him. And when we come up out of the water as he did, we also receive the Holy Spirit into our life and therefore identify with his resurrection. And now for the first time, we can see the kingdom of God and therefore enter into the kingdom of God. And now we can say no to sin and represent the kingdom of God in manifesting the reality of God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's a beautiful thing. Father, just pray for us. If there's any peace that's missing in our life here, if there's something that seems to be out of place, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would direct us individually, that you would reveal those things that might be in the way or might be hindering us in some sort of way, oh God. Have we fully come into recognizing your kingdom and what it is and what it represents and who is the king and how does that manifest here in the world? Holy Spirit, come this day, this hour, this moment, and lead us and guide us in truth. Father, in Jesus' name, I just silence the voices. So many voices coming at us daily, over and over and over again, trying to distract, trying to discourage, trying to bring despair and lead us away from the future and the hope that we have in you. That's why, again, Lord, I'm so grateful. You said and you taught us to pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in each of our lives as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the way. Thank you for being obedient to the Father. Thank you for being a good king. And I thank you in Jesus' name.